MyAudiobooks.ai presents The $25 Billion Postcard, What Advent's Filing Reveals About the New Private Capital. On July 9, 2026, a pair of amended Forms D arrived on the Securities and Exchange Commission's EDGAR system from two entities with almost identical names, Advent International GPE 11A SCSP and Advent International GPE 11B SCSP. The filings are, by design, among the least informative documents in all of finance. A few pages of boxes and dollar figures, no narrative, no strategy, no track record. But the number at their center is not small. $25.5 billion in interest sold. It is the latest marker on one of the largest private equity flagship funds ever assembled, raised by a firm that most Americans have never heard of, from investors whose identities the firm does not disclose, through vehicles domiciled in Luxembourg. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can listen to deep dive investigations like this one, plus create your own audiobooks from prompts and documents with a single subscription. The Form D is the postcard of high finance, the only piece of mail the private markets are required to send. It exists because of a loophole's paperwork. Securities sold privately to accredited investors are exempt from registration, and the exemption comes with a one-time obligation to say so. The document's brevity is the story. The public markets produce 10,000 pages of disclosure a year for a company a fraction of this fund size. The fund that may own that company and a dozen more files a postcard. Reading it closely and reading what is not on it is a lesson in how capital actually moves in 2026. Section 1. The Filing and the Fund. Start with what the documents do say. The vehicles are Luxembourg Special Limited Partnerships, the SCSP structure that has become the default wrapper for global private equity, chosen for its flexibility, its creditor protections, and its tax neutrality. The exemption claimed is Rule 506B of Regulation D, the private offering safe harbor that prohibits general solicitation. No advertising, no marketing to the public, no podcast appearances pitching the fund. The investor qualification rides on Section 3C7 of the Investment Company Act, which restricts the vehicle to qualified purchasers, institutions, and individuals with at least $5 million in investments. The A vehicle reports 11 investors, holding one tranche of the total. The B vehicle reports 93, holding another. The initial notices for the fund complex were filed in June of 2025, meaning the raise ran roughly a year to its current crest. 11 investors is the number to sit with. A tranche of a $25 billion fund held by 11 entities is not a crowd of rich individuals. It is a roster of the sovereign wealth funds, public pension systems, and endowments that anchor every megafund, the institutions so large that a single commitment can run to $1 billion. The 93 in the parallel vehicle are the next tier, the corporate pensions, the insurance general accounts, the family offices of the merely very wealthy. Two vehicles, one fund, and the split tells you the private capital market now has an internal class structure as rigid as anything on a public exchange, with placement determined by check size rather than share price. The qualified purchaser threshold that gates the whole arrangement deserves a moment, because it is the legal fiction on which everything else rests. Section 3C-37 exists so that a fund selling only to institutions and the truly wealthy can escape the Investment Company Act's registration, the law's judgment being that investors with $5 million or more in securities can hire their own analysts, negotiate their own terms, and absorb their own losses. What the judgment did not anticipate is how completely the exemption would become the industry's business model. The modern private equity firm is not a company that happens to sell privately, but a machine engineered to live permanently inside the exemption, with every entity, feeder, and wrapper placed to keep the perimeter intact. The rule designed to protect the small, by excluding them from the private markets, ended up building a parallel capital system in which the small are structurally absent, not barred from any investment, but barred from the asset class that two decades of institutional money has decided is worth having. Section 2. Why the money came. The timing of the amendment, filed as the fund approaches its final close, lands in a strong year for realizations, with the sponsor's portfolio companies exiting at a pace that reminds institutional investors why they tolerate the asset class's decade-long lockups. But the deeper reason the money came is structural, and it long predates this cycle. Private equity's pitch to its investors has hardened over two decades into something close to a doctrine: patient, leveraged, operational ownership of real businesses, unbothered by quarterly earnings and activist raids, delivering returns the public markets cannot match because the discipline the public markets impose is precisely the discipline the strategy is designed to escape. Whether the doctrine survives contact with the evidence is the industry's quietest controversy, a question deferred, not answered, by the retirement of the older vintages. What is not controversial is the scale. The largest flagship funds now rival the biggest initial public offerings in capital gathered, and they gather it in months from a few dozen decision makers, with no roadshow headlines and no retail participation. The public equity market remains larger in aggregate, but the marginal dollar of institutional ambition has been migrating private for a generation, and the Advent filing is simply the most recent mile marker on that road. The year of the raise matters as much as the number, because 2026's fundraising climate is the strangest in a decade. The denominator effect, institutions whose private allocations ballooned past their targets when public holdings fell, has finally loosened, and the winch is the exit market. Realizations at the mega firms have reopened the distributions pipeline, and it is distributions, not promises, that let a pension board re-up for the next fund. Advent's timing, in other words, was not luck. The fund arrived at the precise moment its predecessors began paying cash back, and the investors who received those checks were the 11 and the 93, turning the money around in place. In private equity, the best marketing document is a wire transfer. Section 3. The postcard's blank spaces. Now read what the Form D does not say, because the omissions are the institutional design. It does not name a single investor. It does not disclose fees, though the standard 2 and 20 economics have been under pressure at this scale, with the largest investors negotiating discounts invisible to everyone else. It does not describe the strategy, the sector targets, or the geography. It does not report performance, because private funds report performance only to their own investors, on their own schedule, using methods their own industry sets, valuations marked by the manager who earns carried interest on them. The postcard is the entire public record of a vehicle that will buy and sell companies employing hundreds of thousands of people. Compare that with the disclosure regime of a public company a tenth its size. The 10K's risk factors, the compensation tables, the auditor's opinion, the proxy fights, the short sellers publishing counter-research, and the asymmetry comes into focus. The private markets are not less regulated than the public ones. They are differently regulated, with the regulation applied at the perimeter to who may enter, rather than to what must be revealed. The bet the system made in the securities laws exemptions was that sophisticated investors do not need protection from silence. The question the system has never fully answered is whether everyone else does. The employees of the companies the funds buy, the creditors who lend alongside them, and the communities whose largest employers can now change hands without a single public filing that mentions the company's name. The irony is that the Form D's minimalism is not an accident of neglect, but a design choice with a pedigree. When the securities laws were written in the 1930s, the drafters drew a sharp line. Companies raising money from the general public must tell the public everything. Companies raising money from the rich and the institutional may say almost nothing, because their investors can demand the real numbers privately in the data room under the non-disclosure agreement. The postcard exists for the record, not the reader. Proof that the offering happened and that the exemption was claimed, filed so that a regulator, years later, can reconstruct who raised what from whom. It is a tax receipt for the privacy the private markets were promised. That promise held for half a century while the sums were small. The Advent filing is what the promise looks like at $25 billion. At myaudiobooks.ai, we read the primary documents so you can hear what the press releases leave out. Every investigation narrated. Section 4. The original angle. Luxembourg, Omaha, and the geography of nowhere. Set the filing's two facts side by side. A Boston-rooted firm, a Luxembourg wrapper. And you have the map of modern capital. The fund's legal home is a country most of its investors will never visit, chosen not for secrecy, despite the reputation, but for a body of partnership law supple enough to hold 1,000 pages of side letter accommodations negotiated with each sovereign fund and pension system. The manager's home is where the relationships are. The investors' homes are wherever the pools of retirement and sovereign money happen to sit. The companies the fund will buy are everywhere. And the returns, when they come, will land in the jurisdictions with the treaties that tax them most gently. This geography of nowhere is not an aberration. It is the point. A public company is anchored to an exchange, a listing jurisdiction, a disclosure regime, by the need for a market in its shares. A private fund needs no market, so it anchors to nothing. And every component is placed where it functions best. The wrapper in Luxembourg, the management company wherever the treaty network favors, the carried interest wherever the tax code smiles on it. The Form D postcard is the moment this stateless structure pings the American regulatory system. One filed form, and then silence until the next one. The two-sided structure itself is worth a closer look, because the A and the B vehicles are not redundant paperwork. They are the fund's constitutional document, written in Luxembourg partnership law. The A vehicle, with its 11 investors, is the inner sanctum. Co-investment rights, preferential economics, side letters negotiated one by one with the sovereign funds that anchor the raise. The B vehicle, with its 93, is the governed commons, where the standard terms live. Every document an investor in B can point to says the fund treats holders equally. Every side letter an investor in A signed says otherwise. This is not scandal. It is the market's answer to a fund too large for any single institution to anchor. But it is a market whose inner architecture is visible only to its participants, one letterbox at a time. Section 5. What to look for next. The first signal is the final close itself, announced the way the industry announces such things. A press release with a round number, a quote about conviction, and no performance data. The second is deployment. Watch the 8Ks and merger filings of mid-market and large companies across Europe and North America over the coming 8 quarters, because that is where the $25 billion reappears, in control premiums and add-on acquisitions. The third is the next vintage, whether the successor fund launches on schedule or whether the interval stretches, which is the market's honest verdict on returns. And the fourth is regulatory. The SEC's private fund advisor rules, struck down in court and rewritten, keep circling the same questions the postcard's blanks raise: quarterly statements, fee transparency, advisor-led secondaries. Each version that survives moves the private markets a few inches toward the disclosure regime the public markets have carried for 90 years. Section 6. The broader pattern and open question. The broad pattern is the quiet migration of the capitalist economy's center of gravity from the exchange to the letterbox, from markets where anyone may buy and everything must be disclosed, to arrangements where 100 institutions may buy and almost nothing must be. Every retirement system that reaches for private returns moves a few billion across that line. The Form D is the customs receipt of the crossing. It is worth being precise about what that migration does to the public markets it empties out, because the effect is not merely fewer listings. The companies that stay public are increasingly the ones that cannot go private. Too big, too regulated, or too dependent on public currency for acquisitions. While the companies with the steadiest cash flows, the ones private equity prizes, are the first to leave. The exchange becomes, by selection, a residue of the unbuyable. Meanwhile, the pricing function the exchange performs for the whole economy, the continuous, public, adversarial negotiation of what companies are worth, loses its best instruments, one delisting at a time. When the strongest businesses are valued by their own managers, quarterly, in private, the public tape prices an index of leftovers, and the benchmarks every pension fund anchors to drift measurably away from the economy its beneficiaries actually work in. That is the migration's second-order cost, and no Form D box captures it. There is a second pattern, and it is about what the public is allowed to know about the ownership of the economy. A century of securities law was built on a single premise. Sunshine is the disinfectant, and disclosure is the price of the public's capital. The private markets inverted the bargain. Silence is the price of sophistication. And the inversion worked, for decades, because the sums were small. They are not small anymore. The companies in these portfolios are not startups waiting for the public markets. They are hospitals, payment processors, insurers, and industrial champions that the public markets no longer want, held indefinitely by capital the public cannot see. Which leaves the open question. As the largest pools of retirement and sovereign money finish their migration into structures that file one postcard a decade, does the disclosure regime follow the money? Or does the definition of the public interest quietly shrink to fit what the postcards still reveal? The filing is public. The fund is closed. The document sits on Edgar, 4 pages long, telling you almost nothing about $25 billion. And that, precisely, is the story. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create fiction, nonfiction, and turn your documents into audio, all stored in one place with a single subscription. Plus, get instant access to thousands of audiobooks and deep dive investigations. Learn more today at myaudiobooks.ai.
This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.